Recently, I attended the open day at the National Marine College of Ireland in Ringaskiddy in County Cork. The college has grown hugely in recent years and is now an internationally known marine college, training people for careers at sea in the shipping industry. The open day was geared mainly at students and young people, where they got to meet shipping companies from all over the world. There were career presentations and tours of the college. As part of the open day, international shipping and cruising companies had a jobs fair trying to recruit young students. I went around and spoke to many of them, but first I met Cormac Gabrours. He's head of college at MNCI, and he told me something about Ringaskiddy.
At MNCI, we, among other things, educate and train Ireland's maritime professionals, and those are all the people who work on ships at sea, but also the people who run our ports, who work in supply chain and logistics, who work in our Coast Guard, and in all of the agencies and organisations on the island of Ireland who are involved in any way with the sea.
You have a very modern college here. You've built up in recent years. What size is it? How many students do you have?
Yeah, so we're an interesting facility in even an international context. So we were opened in about 2005. We were the first third level public-private partnership in Ireland. We're into about year 15 of that partnership now. It's a wonderful arrangement. We're a partnership between the Cork Institute of Technology and the Irish Naval Service. And we have a student population here of somewhere in the region of about 4,500, but that's made up of three very distinct groups of students. We have our undergraduate student population who are school leavers who come to us in the first instance to be educated and trained to work on the world's merchant ships, and indeed to work for the Irish Navy.
And they will apply through the CAO?
They apply through the CAO system. So it's like going to any third level college in the country. Our careers are a little bit different. Our students have a unique blend of academic and industry related education and training. So all of our undergraduate students will spend about 3 years of their time here in the college, but that is broken up with periods working on merchant ships at sea all over the world. So it's an integral part of their training. So that student body is somewhere in the region of 450 to 500 of our students at any given point in time. We then, as I say, because we're a partnership with the Irish Navy, we'd have somewhere between about 400 and 600 Irish Naval Service personnel would pass through NMCI every year, doing continuous professional development, doing refresher training. You know, the nature of what the Irish Navy do, there's a huge emphasis on training. They protect our coastline. They're heavily involved in search and rescue. They're involved in fisheries management around our coast. So they have a heavy emphasis on continuous education and training. They'd be our second cohort. And our largest cohort by number then would be those already qualified professional seafarers, professional maritime people from all over the world who come here to train to update their qualifications and so on. And they could be anything up to about 3,500 people a year. So we have a very, very significant number of people who come in and out of here for periods of a week, a month, or maybe a quarter to do different kinds of courses.
If we just talk about the people who may be doing their leaving cert next year, looking at the CAO, they're wondering about a career.
Yep.
What kind of careers are on offer for those people in the maritime sector?
Yeah, so for school leavers, the world of maritime careers is very, very wide, but they share three common starting points, which is that of deck officer or navigation officer, marine engineering officer, or electrotechnical officer.
They're all on ships.
They start on ships, yeah. So, you know, in the olden days, if you will, the career of a professional seafarer was one where you would start and very often spend, you know, much of your working adult life at sea. That has changed now. So we talk now about maritime careers. You start working on ships, and the pattern nowadays is most maritime professionals will spend maybe the first 7 to 10 to 12 years working on ships, But then they will migrate into positions ashore, and those positions are very, very diverse. Okay. They could be, as I mentioned, in running ports and working for state agencies like the Coast Guard and the Marine Survey Office, Department of Transport, who is the Irish regulator around maritime activity. But also they go into law, finance, HR, business ownership, supply chain, education, research. So there's a whole range of careers that people go through. The career pathways, there's huge choice there, but they all share a common starting point, which is that of professional mariner, okay, and up to including ship's captain, chief engineer, and the electrotechnical officer is a third career path that opened up over the last 6 or 8 years. It used to be the old radio officer. It is now basically the maritime world's ICT professional, the information, the computer boffin people, and it's a career with huge opportunities and one that is of particular interest to a lot of kids, of course, who come up, and a lot of students who have an interest in IT and that kind of stuff, you know.
And would that be through personal choice that you end your career, say, over 8 or 10 years, or is that just the way the whole industry is going?
It's very much choice. It's wonderful to see where people go when, you know, our graduates, our alumni from here. The network of maritime professionals, it's you know, in global terms, it's a small, very close-knit community, and the Irish community is even more close-knit. But so we tend to keep in very close contact with our alumni, so we see where they go. Some of them, you know, choose to remain at sea. Wonderful, wonderful balance of you know, of work and time off. Very, very good remuneration. You know, we were just talking yesterday to some of the companies. The many of our students end up working for the cruise line companies,
yeah.
And you know, the way, one of the things they describe, part of the quality of life, you follow the sun around the world. So, you know, in the winter, they work in our winter in the Northern Hemisphere, they work in the Southern Hemisphere, in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. In the summer, then, they come back to Europe, they work in the Caribbean, they work in Alaska in the summer. So there's a wonderful quality of life. So many people choose to stay at sea. They don't have to. You know, it's really, you've great options. You've great options. So some people choose to stay, some people choose to come ashore.
People doing that, even start next year, the one question in their mind, what's the point?
The nature of it is that, you know, where I suppose it might be considered a niche career, it's not for everybody. It's really a career for people who relish excitement and challenge, and who enjoy working outdoors, who enjoy doing very practical things, who are quite independent of mind and you know, quite resilient and are happy to work under their own steam and so on. For the right kinds of people, entry is actually quite easy, because the demand isn't very, very high. And as you know, CAO points are demand driven. So our points are in and around, depending on the course, somewhere around 300 points, which, you know, people might kind of go, oh, that's quite low, but that's simply demand. All of our graduates come out with two qualifications. They come out with a third level degree. As I say, we're a constituent college of the Cork Institute of Technology, so their degree is a, you know, a nationally recognised quality qualifications Ireland, a QQI degree. But they also then come out with what is recognised as the most mobile international professional qualification that's out there, and that is a certificate of competency under the Standards of Training and Certification for Watchkeepers, which is a global professional qualification system for professional mariners, ultimately managed and maintained by the International Maritime Organization. That qualification is a passport to work anywhere in the world.
And it's probably step one on your way to becoming a ship's captain.
It is, yeah, or a chief engineer. And you know, we stay with we work with our students all the way through to ship's captain and chief engineer, and it's a, you know, as a career path, they're unique blends of the practical, the academic. There's a lot of leadership in it, there's a lot of management in it, so it is a great formative career for people. You know, our graduates have ended up as the CEOs of major organisations, as vice presidents in you know, some of the largest companies in the world. People have ended up, as I mentioned, in education, in research, in regulation, in finance, in business ownership, in entrepreneurship. But the common thread is that the blend of practical and you know, education that they get, I would argue, is almost unique.
The cruise companies Cormac Gabrewers mentioned there were out in force during the NMCI Open Day. Students from the college were around, but many of them were in uniform, like this young man, who is now working for Carnival UK.
Yeah, so I'm Peter Kelly. I'm a deck cadet with Carnival UK, and I'm in my final year of study here in the National Maritime College of Ireland.
Where are you from? How long have you spent here?
So I'm originally from Wexford. This is my third year here.
Tell me about Carnival.
So Carnival, so I'm with Carnival UK, who are owned by a US Carnival corporation. But Carnival UK have two companies under them, which is Cunard and P&O Cruises. Big, well-renowned international companies.
What kind of careers are they offering people? You have a stand here at the jobs fair.
So Carnival, as a cruise ship, offer a variety of jobs, not just for people who want to drive ships or maintain ships. They also offer careers in shopping and spa and healthcare as well, because we're always looking for people for those sites as well.
What has been your own career path? How did you come to here? How difficult was it getting here? Did Carnival sponsor you the whole way through?
So with an Irish system, we apply through the CAO as a normal college. And when you come into college, then the companies start to come in to see who they're going to take, who they're going to take on for sponsorship. I was lucky enough to get Carnival, who had sponsored me from the day that I joined my first ship. So I still had to pay my first year, but then they paid from then on.
I don't get that.
So what it is your first year of college, you pay it yourself. So okay. You have Suzy and all that.
Yeah.
And then when you get your sponsorship, they will then fund you through college as well and after that.
And you're committed then to go and joining them afterwards?
Yeah, committed for 2 years then on contract then after. But me personally, I stay with the company. They're an amazing company.
What do you hope to do when you join them? What will be your career?
So once I qualify, I will then become a third officer driving cruise ships and also keeping the maintenance of safety equipment on board. And after that, then there's a clear, very, very clear progression path where you will progress to a second officer, still driving the ship, but have a bit more responsibility. Going on to first officer, where you will, again, still drive the ship, but you're also planning the route the ship will take. You then go to safety officer in charge of the whole safety of the whole ship, all the passengers and crew on board. You then go to a deputy captain, which is just under the captain, in charge of the entire deck department, which is in charge of the maintenance of the ship, in charge of the safety of the ship, in charge of the driving of the ship, and then you become a captain right at the very end.
Yeah, how many years? What's the career path? Do you know? Is it typically how many years?
Typically, it's about 20 years to get to captain now in the cruise ship industry.
When you start on cruise ships, where will you go? What will your work patterns be like? Will you have time off ashore? Will you have?
So, what we're looking at is that we, places we go worldwide. We're going to ports out in Dubai and places like that. We're going to ports. Some of our ships do world cruises where we circumnavigate the globe, taking in all of Asia. Normally we're in around the Mediterranean Sea or out in the Caribbean or taking in the Canary Islands and the Norwegian Fjords. Very, very interesting, all of them. Work pattern wise, you do 4 hours on, 8 hours off, four on, eight off. And that is your 12-hour period. And you do that every day.
Shore time?
Shore time. Every time you're in port and you don't have extra work to do and you want to go ashore. They don't mind.
Yeah.
Because there's always people to fill. As long as you're on board, you're given a safety role. But because you're off work, that's occupied by someone else.
Yeah. And home time?
Home time is almost exactly to being at sea time now.
Really? 50-50?
Yeah, almost 50-50. It's about 3 months on, 3 months off, give or take a few weeks.
You're in your final year here. Have you been on a ship yet?
I've done a year and a half in total already.
Really?
So I've been on three ships, which is Britannia, Ventura, and the Queen Victoria. Each ship, very large, over 90,000 gross ton ships, so they're very, very big. And they all have over 3,000 passengers.
Young people listening might be doing their leaving, filling in their CAO. What would you say to them?
It's an amazing career. It's incredible opportunities. You get to see the world, you get paid to see the world, and you get to drive something that only a minority of people get to do. It's an incredible job. It's a tough job, but it's a fun job.
Chevron is one of the biggest shipping companies in the world, and they were at the Marine College in Fowers trying to recruit young students.
I'm Craig Robertson. I'm a learning development officer with Chevron and previously sailed in the international fleet on the gas tankers.
You're here, we're at the jobs fair in the Marine Institute. Tell me something about Chevron.
Chevron's one of the largest oil and gas companies in the world. And we operate a fleet of international ships and US flagships all over the globe, including Asia, Europe, the Americas, transporting a billion barrels of oil every year and supplying the majority of Japan's gas needs from Australia.
You're trying to recruit people or get people interested in the company. What type of people are you looking for? Very young people here, and what kind of jobs are on offer?
Well, we're looking to hire marine engineers and deck officers to man our ships. We're looking for leaders, we're looking for team players, we're looking for people that will fit well into the Chevron team. We have a saying in Chevron that it's one team.
Yeah.
And that's something that we strive to maintain and make sure that everyone we've got on board is operating to the same standard and happy.
So are you looking for people who are just about to join the Institute here, maybe halfway through, first year, second year?
At the moment, the deck officers or prospective deck officers are just in their first year, so they're quite new. The engineering and ETO...
You have people around here in your company uniform?
Yeah. So they've already been to sea. They know the story on board, so they're here to back up what we say.
Okay. So I'm Brian Morrison. I'm an engineer in LDO, also the same as Craig. I'm a serving engineer in the fleet, predominantly LNG. So really, the kind of people we're looking for and the people, you know, what we can offer is a lifetime career, you know. So, you know, it's not just about, manning ships and operating ships. We actually look to take people from the fleet who have, they've got their marine expertise, and we can use them shore-based and part of the corporation to make, you know, good decisions. So,
if I decide to become a deck officer or an engineer on one of your ships, what's my lifestyle going to be? Where will I go? How much time will I spend ashore? How much on sea? Who'll be with me on board?
Yep. So I mean, with Chevron, you know, we're operating all over the world, so the world literally is your oyster. You know, you could be placed anywhere. We've got huge operations in Australia, North America, Kazakhstan. We're operating out of West Africa as well, and we're trading all over the world. So, you know, life on board, you know, it's hard work. I'm not ashamed to say that. It's good, honest, hard work, and it's stressful, and but it's so rewarding, you know. And as a cadet, you know, you're in a really good position to go ashore and see things that you'd never see before. First time I joined a vessel was in Hawaii, you know. Never been that part of the world before. Had no idea what to expect, but I was on board. You know, I was met by, you know, someone who chaperoned me, showed me all over the vessel where all the safety equipment was, what I was expected to do, and I was very happy. You know, but you know, we've also been to some kind of other places that you wouldn't expect to go on holiday, such as like the Congo, Soyo and Angola. But it's all part of the fun. But yeah, you'll see the world. You know.
How many cadets do you have here already in the college, do you know?
Well, we take roughly 15 from each intake. So we've got some at sea just now. We've probably got about 30 cadets from NMCI at sea as we speak. And we've probably got about the same actually in the college just now.
Are you looking for more?
We are, yeah. Always looking for more.
So the students here enter NMCI after the Leaving Cert with about 300 points. Many are then recruited by shipping companies after their first year in college. Their fees and living accommodation are then paid for the next couple of years by the company, and then they sign onto a ship for a minimum of 2 years. Julie Arnold is the cadet training manager for Shell Ship Management, and she says joining a company like hers is a lifelong career.
I'm the cadet training manager for Shell Ship Management. I manage 120 cadets internationally and worldwide, and we're here today to recruit some good Irish cadets.
Tell me about the kind of career you'd have in Shell Ship Management and something about the company.
Okay, Shell is a long-standing energy company. It's innovative. It's always looking for cleaner ways to, you know, to protect our environment. The next big thing is LNG, and that's what Shell is big about. We manage the largest LNG fleet in the world. Our safety culture is synonymous. We have everybody wants to know how are Shell doing it, and it's a great career, because I pitch to the guys and girls here today saying that if they come to us as cadets, they have a job for life. So it's not just, we don't just train them to become officers, we train them for a fleet and beyond. So we look for them for skill pool, and we have strategic offices around the world. So yeah, it's a fantastic opportunity on offer today from Shell.
How many are here recruiting people? What kind of people are you looking for?
And we're looking for kids who want to make a difference, kids who want to, you know, work with a company that wants to help the environment, who wants to do the right thing, who wants to look and provide a really good career.
Are you looking for people in first year or people just about to graduate?
Well, we're here primarily to sponsor cadets. So for the DEC side, we're looking at the year one cadets who will be ready to go to sea with us next year. Here, the way the college work, the engineers do 2 years, and then we pick them up and we sponsor them there for until they're qualified, and then we take them on as officers. So there's a guarantee of a job with Shell.
And what type of career will they have? I understand from speaking to other people that might spend X amount of years at sea and then have a shore-based job.
Yeah, within Shell there's fantastic opportunities, and that's why I pitched to the kids today, because not everybody would want to stay at sea. Like, you know, years ago there was a culture that you go to sea, you stay at sea. Nowadays we offer all of our officers, once qualified, opportunities to work in our offices around the world, secondments for as short as 6 weeks or as long as 2 years, and then they go back out to the fleet. So it gives them that diverse culture, so they can see what the officer doing, or they can maintain the working at sea, but then the opportunities to come ashore afterwards. You know, kids nowadays don't want to stay at sea. They want to have a family. They want to, you know, they want to have a more, you know, stable life. It's all about a work-life balance. So Shell are able to offer that opportunity to them all.
So what's life like when you make it to be a ship's captain? Paul Roach is a captain and master with P&O Ferries, and he was representing the Irish Institute of Master Mariners at the Open Day. He told me first about the Institute.
The Institute of Master Mariners is a professional organisation of shipmasters. So for Ireland, and so we have like 160 members, which are all shipmasters that are in the commercial maritime transport industry, merchant marine. So what we do is we share knowledge and experience between ourselves. We mentor, you know, younger shipmasters, and then I suppose our most important role, though, is that we support the Irish government in, you know, commercial maritime matters. You know, they consult with us, we consult with them on various legislation, and we provide the information to them. So another role of the Irish Institute of Master Mariners then is we're part of a International Federation of Shipmasters Associations and the Confederation of European Shipmasters Association. So what we do is we build all that knowledge and we provide support to them, so that when they're at the International Maritime Organization, that the legislation for international maritime affairs, you know, has experience behind it. Yeah.
What is the life now of a ship? You call it master mariner, I call it ship's captain.
The ship's captain, it's the career path starts off, you generally do 3 years in nautical college and some sea time, so then you qualify as an officer of the watch, and generally it takes you about 10 years to qualify as a master mariner, but at the meantime you're at sea while that is. Generally 16 years is the average then before you take command of a commercial ship. So that would be, you know, like a container ship, cruise ship, tanker, that kind of stuff. So that's the normal career path. So it would take you about 16 years. Quite often, though, it used to be a vocation, but the whole dynamic has changed in the industry, whereby, you know, after 4 or 5 years, a lot of officers are coming ashore. They're working for the ports, they're working for transport and logistics, Coast Guard, the RNLI, so there's lots of opportunities ashore as well. So where people would expect to stay at sea for their career, now more often than not it's a stepping stone to ashore.
Paul, what kind of career have you had? What kind of ships have you captained?
Yeah, my career started off with Irish shipping companies, which is the likes of our Arklo Shipping, which are still going strong today, the B&I, which is now are morphed into Irish Ferry. So I started off on small coastal ships, then I joined Shell International, so I was on everything from 30,000 ton tankers to 400,000 ton super tankers. You know, they're 400 meters long, 60 meters wide, you know, really big ships. That was as navigation officer, and then I joined P&O Ferries, so I worked on ferries then, and that's where I am today, where I'm a senior captain with P&O Ferries. So man, passenger ferries, basically. So
driving those big super tankers, it must be, it's a huge responsibility. Is it a stressful job?
That's a very broad brush. Yes, it can be stressful. It tends to be stressful when you're in port. But I mean, in command of such a large vessel, there's an enormous amount of responsibility, not only to the people on board, but also to the environment and the people around you, because with such a large ship, you can do quite a lot of damage, both to the to the environment and to people's livelihoods. I mean, if you look at the Prestige, which sank off the coast of Spain. Yeah, so there is a lot of stress in port. You've got to make sure you know what you're about, so you're technically competent. So in port can be stressful, but in the open waters.
Do all careers in that area start here in the Marine College in Ireland?
Yes, the vast majority of them, I'm sure. The vast majority of careers in the Merchant Marine would start here, but you know, at Port Iskervar, you have they have their own training facilities as well. But yes, for Officer OW training and then on to Master Mariner, it would be mostly in Ireland. This would be here in the National Maritime College of Ireland.
And thanks to Paul Roach and everybody I met at the National Maritime College of Ireland. You can check out their careers there at nmci.ie. A quick mention of a book I've been sent called Catching the Past, Folklore and Legend of Maritime Howth. It's an aid of the establishment of a new maritime museum in Howth, and it's on sale around the village and surrounding areas for €10. We'll give you an update on that project in the weeks to come.